my sins for God. There is a grave they tried to hide. This precious blood that gave me life. Rose to stand in. gave me life. But in
'm covered. Got faults. They're covered. Got problems. But they're covered. You got your Bible, I want to read in Exodus chapter number 12. I want to read about the Passover. Read about the 10th plague. I'm going to try to preach this morning on this subject, covered by the blood. This is something that God laid on my heart this week, and I'll maybe be able to tell you something about that. But I was up there, you know, in the mountains last weekend, and we enjoyed getting away and needed that. And God did speak to me. I got my little phone out, and since I've discovered notes, my wife looked at me, "Who you texting?" "Nobody. Nobody. Who you texting?" "Nobody. Let me see your phone." I'll tell you, I just want to tell you something. You are blessed when you got a wife as pretty as that that's jealous of you. I don't know what else to say. I mean, y'all know I outdone myself, okay? But I was sitting there and I was typing notes and God kept giving me thoughts. And, you know, I just thank God that He does speak to us. Amen. Sometimes God speaks to us and He gives us thoughts. And, you know, I can't wait to be able to get to study them and preach. And then there are times that God speaks to me and He gives me thoughts, and I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. First part of this message, I just love it. But the latter part of it, I'm not going to like. But I have to share it with you this morning, and I want to read in Exodus chapter number 12 and read the first through the 13th verse, and just for the sake of time, I'm going to skip down to the 29th verse. Then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter number 9 in just a minute and read just a few verses. But I want us to think about the blood and the power of the blood as we read this scripture. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take of to them every man a lamb, according to his house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, male of the first year, and you shall take it out of the sheep and from the goats, or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of the Lord shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and the pertinence thereof. And shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall ye burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now let's go down to the 29th verse and read the 29th and the 30th verse. And it says, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captives that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now, I want us to think about this for just a minute and understand this scripture in its context. The children of Israel were down in Egypt, and the Lord sent Moses as God's servant to lead them out. And when he got down there and the Lord began to do great works, Moses threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh, and when he threw it down, the staff, it became a serpent. But rather than heeding the warning, what they did is they called for the magicians and the, you know, the great people of their particular time, their sorcerers and their soothsayers, and they brought a staff in, and they were able to throw a staff down, and also it became a serpent. Now, if you know the story, you know that Moses' servant, Moses' snake, that his staff, it swallowed up the two serpents or snakes there that Pharaoh brought in. You see, a lot of people, what they do when God begins to speak and move among them, they get a hard heart. They start looking for something else, and they say, well, we can do the same thing. Well, I want to tell you, there's two powers. The scripture says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. There are also two groups. They're the saved, and they're the lost. Okay, we've got the power of God. We've also got the power of Satan. And any power that's out there that's not of the power of God, there's not a bunch of different groups. It's the power of Satan, or it's the power of God. Well, here's Pharaoh. He's following the power of the enemy, the power of Satan. And every time that God does something, they either try to copy it or they don't take heed to it. And they come through all these plagues, and they come to the 10th one, and God said, all right, it's time. But it wasn't just time for the people to go. Everything that is about this particular Passover, everything about this particular plague, everything about the slaying of the lamb, it was pointing toward a cross. Because this is a picture of Christ and what Christ is to do for you and I. Now I want you to see a couple of things in this scripture that point to Christ. In verse number 5 it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. Can I tell you that the scripture says that we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Here's what I want you to understand, and if you're going to accept Christ, you got to believe this. He lived without sin. He walked without sin. He was the incarnate Son of God sent into the world. He was our lamb that was without blemish. Said in the 7th, it says, ye shall take of the blood and strike it on the two doorposts and on the upper post. Now, here's what I want you to understand. He said, you take this blood and you put it on there. You put it on both sides and you put it across the top. And when they went inside the house that night, they had to stay in there. Now, here's what I want you to understand. It wasn't just because they were Jews. It was because they were behind the blood. Now, because when the death angel began to pass through, it went to every house and it looked for the blood. And here's what I want you to understand. Everybody in that house may not have been good people.
That's right. Yeah.
They may not have been all doing the right things. There were probably some murderers behind the blood. There were probably some liars behind the blood. There were probably people who needed a judgment that was behind the blood, but the blood covered them. And then the blood went over to Pharaoh's. And the death angel went over to Pharaoh's and he looked for the blood. The blood was significant. The blood was important. Remember, when you study in all through the Word of God, the significance of blood and that life is in the blood. Look at verse number 12. He said, I will pass through the land and I will smite all the firstborn of Egypt. And then he says this, against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. He said, I am the Lord. And here's what I want you to understand. All the gods. There are people today that say, I just don't believe in God. They've got a God. It's just, which one is it? There is one God and one mediator between God and me and the man Christ Jesus. Okay, there is no other. There is no other way. There's no triangle to heaven. You'll either come through Jesus Christ and you'll come because you're covered by the blood, or you will not make it. Amen. He said, I'm going to judge them. Execute judgment against all those gods. And he says, I am the Lord. Verse 13 says, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, folks, I'm glad that I've been covered by the blood. In verse number 29, it says, and it came to pass. And here's what I want you to understand. People today, it's just like written over in the book of Peter. They say, well, the Lord hadn't come back yet. And it just keeps on going. Well, folks, he's coming. And if he doesn't come for all of us, he's coming for you and he's coming for me. I began to sit there as we were singing the songs and thinking about the church, in the amount of time that I've been here. How many people have gone to be with the Lord? You know, how many people out of this church? How many people out of your family? Have you ever sat down and looked at your Christmas list of 20 years ago and your Christmas list today and see how much different it is? You see, the Lord's coming for us, whether he comes for us all or not. But folks, one day, just like he said, I'm going to move through the land and I'm coming. And he's coming. In his place, the death angel, it moved through the land and all the firstborn. There was not a house in Egypt that was not touched by the blood where there was not one dead. There was a great cry that could be heard all over the land, house to house. This house couldn't help this house because this house was also touched. And this house couldn't help this house because this house was also touched. Every house was grieving. Not a house. You know, when we look at this, this is a picture and a type of things to come. The Lamb is a picture and a type of Christ. And the blood is a picture and a type of Christ's blood. Now let's go over and let's look at Hebrews chapter number 9. And I just want to read you a few verses. And I want to tell you that the gospel has been given to every man. You know, there are four books. We call them the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Well, here's the good news. The blood is available to you and to me. Now, folks, that's good news. People say, well, I just don't understand all that. And I've heard it said this way. I don't understand all this blood stuff. Well, you ever thought about how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk? I don't understand that either. But when I begin to read the Word of God, I've got to put it together and I've got to stand at some point by faith and say, I believe what God's Word says. Because if you decide that you're going to reject every bit of this, you are still standing by faith. The question is, faith in what? If you don't have your hope in God, where do you get your hope? Where do you get it? Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. You see, from the Passover every year, there had to be a lamb. But when Jesus come, no more. He said this, he was offered once for all. It says, for unto then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment.
Amen.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, that's the gospel message. The gospel is the good news, is that there is a covering for all of our sin.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk for just a minute, and this is the part of the message that I like, okay? What's covered by the blood? What is covered by the blood of Jesus? In Matthew chapter number 12 and verse 31, the first half of the verse, it says, wherefore I say unto you that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. All manner. Okay, now here's what I want you to understand this morning. God can handle your sin. You know, I had the privilege recently, and it is a privilege for me, for somebody to say, I want you to go and speak to somebody in the hospital because they're calling for a preacher to come. I get excited about that. And when I go in and I hear them say something like this, they got an humble voice, and they say, I just don't know if God can save me. I've been too bad. I begin to think, brother, we've got a candidate right here. We've got somebody that's just right, somebody that's got an humble heart and a contrite spirit. That God can do something in their life. And that, you know, sometimes people say, well, I've just been too bad. I've done too many things. I want you to understand something this morning. The blood can cover all of your sin.
Yes.
Because the grace of God is greater than your sin. The blood can cover it. God can handle it. Sometimes people say, well, I've been too bad. God can't save me. Oh, yes, He can. You got to first become a candidate that's willing. And when you start saying something like that, it's stirring. It's moving. There's something going on. You beginning to recognize and realize that in yourself you can't make it. That in yourself there's no good thing. That in yourself there's sin. And then God can move and He can come in and He can save your soul. And the blood can be covered over all of your sin. Well, what can God's blood cover? I'll tell you what it'll cover. It'll cover everything you bring.
Yes.
Now, you know, we have altars here, and I thank God for these. And, you know, folks, they're always open. But I want to tell you something. There's not one thing that's ever been laid on these altars, never, that the blood can't cover.
Amen.
There's nothing in your life that you've ever done that the blood can't cover. There's nothing in your life that you've ever thought, that you've ever done, been involved in, or that you will be involved in the future, that the blood of Christ cannot cover. It can and it will if you just bring it and give it to Him. You don't have to be good enough. I've heard people say, well, I'll come to church when I get rid of so-and-so. Well, you won't come. You'll never get rid of it by yourself. I come to church, but I've been too bad. Well, you must not know the rest of us.
Amen.
You know, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, folks, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
See, whatever your hurt, your habit, or your hang-up, all you do is ask and you're covered.
Right.
It's like you come down and say, well, it's almost if you could write it in a little. You know, we like things that we can touch, don't we? I write down all of my sin. And I fold it. Nobody can look at it. But I lay it right here and I say, God, can you handle it? And the blood, it just covers it. It just comes in and God can handle it and God loves you. And that's what the gospel message is that Jesus, once for all, became the sacrifice. Now, is there evidence? I want to tell you something. God chooses cover your sin. And He also chooses to forget it. Just a couple of verses here that I want to share with you. You can write these down if you want. This is Isaiah 38:17. says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love for my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Psalms 103 and verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Jeremiah 31:34 says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, folks, I want you to understand something. That's something God chooses to do. You know, for you and I, it's kind of like this. I believe that God can restore broken things, okay? I believe that God can restore broken relationships. He can restore broken homes. He can restore broken lives. But the truth is, you and I live in a house of flesh. And we can say we forgive, but it's very, very difficult for us to forget. But God being God, he said, I forget. In Micah 7:19, it says, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us, and he will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Now, folks, I like that one. And the reason I like that one is because knowing a little bit about the depths of the sea, I want you to tell you something. We know a whole lot about what's going on out in space than we even do what's going on in the depths of the sea, because we can't go down there. As smart as we think we are, we don't have a submarine, we don't have a ship, we don't even have an unmanned craft that can make it to the depths of the sea. And when they go down there, all of that stuff, he said, "I put it down there where nobody can get to it." That's how much God loves me, and that's how much God loves you. You see, sometimes we get it wrong. We think that we have what we have because we're good. I had somebody recently make a comment like this. They said that, you know, we were involved in a church group, and they told us that they wanted us to invite people, but they said, "I want you to be careful. I want you to invite people of your status." Wow. Can I tell you that he said, "Go out into the highways and the hedges, and as many as you shall find, compel them to come and bring them in so that my house may be full." Yeah. We get it wrong. We think it's about us. Can I tell you, we're here and we have what we have because we have been covered by the blood.
Yes.
No fishing for what God has forgotten. Now here's a thought, and I'll get to the last point. Are you washed in the blood? I want to read this verse, and I hear Alan Jackson singing right now. It says, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" It says, "When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white?" Why? White? Wait a minute. White? Because they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know why? Because when we're in heaven with the Lord, He's going to give us a new robe. He's going to give us new clothes. And when God the Father looks at us, He can't see us but without looking through Jesus. Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Then it says, "Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb." It says, "There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb." I don't understand that. Do you accept Christ? Do you believe Jesus? You know, when I begin to think about this and I thought about the blood, I thought, you know, everything can be covered by the blood. Anything in your past and anything in your life right now, here's what I want you to understand. When the Lord saved you, He knew what you were going to do tomorrow.
Yes. Amen.
I didn't get saved and become the Apostle Paul. I got saved and got under conviction. And God began to work in my life, and you know what? He's still going to be working. Paul said Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and then he said, "Of whom I am chief."
Amen.
And the more he understood about Christ, and the closer he got to Christ, when you read his writings, you realize he understood more about himself. And he recognized that he'd never be everything that he wanted to be until he was in God's presence in heaven. But you can read his writings, the man who taught grace, and understand that he knew that everything was under the blood. But I want to give you this thought. What will the blood not cover? Now, after that kind of preaching, you say, oh, the blood will cover everything. No, it won't. The blood won't cover everything. You see, in Matthew 12 and 31b, it says, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. You see, here's something that the blood won't cover. The blood won't cover unbelief. When a person says, well, I just don't believe in God, they're going to stand before the God and they won't be covered. When a person says, well, God is a myth, that's just something that man dreamed up as a crutch. I've heard people say that. You know, I've lost people that were dear to me that I loved, and their families made comments. Don't even mention God when you stand up to speak over him. Because he didn't believe that stuff. I want you to understand something. They're not covered. And when I begin to think about how good God's been to me, and here's what I want to be careful with. You know what we do? We compare ourselves among ourselves. We think, well, they're not a Christian because, and then, you know, you give whatever they don't do that you don't like. If they've cried out to Jesus, they're covered. But when a person stands and says, I just don't believe, it's a myth, you're not covered. When a person stands in defiance, they're not covered. See, when a person says, we will not have this man to rule over us, they're not covered. When a person says, I will not bow, I won't bow. The Bible says you will. And I love that scripture. But when a person says, I'll never bow, I'll never have this man rule over me, you're not covered. You see, what we can't control is we can't even control our next breath. We can't control our heartbeat. We can't control the hairs on our head. We can't control one thing about life. We think we can, but you can't. I do everything I can as a man. I'm just going to be honest. I try to control everything I can. But even trying. Even naturally. But didn't the scripture say, we read it in Hebrews, that is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. See, the blood will not cover unbelief. The blood will not cover defiance. I was at a funeral one time, and the family was split. One side of them believed in God, the other side didn't. The side that believed in God asked the pastor that I had at the time to come and preach at the funeral. The side that did not believe was so upset that while the preacher was up preaching, they walked right up behind him and hit a cassette player, and they played Elvis Presley, I Did It My Way. Can I tell you, they're not covered.
Amen.
The blood will not cover rejection of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, I can't tell you how much of a privilege I think it is to be able to come into Hiram First Baptist Church.
Amen.
And I come in here and we hear this good music and this good singing, and it's just so great to be in the house of God. It's so great to be in a place where the Holy Spirit moves, because, you know, in order for you to be saved, you got to be spoken to by the Spirit. And the Spirit, it speaks to us and it lets us know that we need Jesus Christ. And when that Spirit comes by, and the Holy Spirit,
listen now,
it knocks on your heart's door. It's very important that you move when that Spirit calls. Somebody told me a story late recently of a church not too far from here. And they made this comment. They said, "We will not even pray with a child until they get to be 12 years old. We don't think if they're younger than that, they can be saved. What if God is knocking when they're 8 years old? And you don't bring them down and pray with them and try to explain to them." Now, I'm not trying to get a confession so you can check the box and pat yourself on the back. I'm talking about trying to help somebody meet Jesus. What if you say no? Their 12th birthday rolls around and you go looking for them. And you can't find them. Or maybe you find them, but their heart's not tender. God's not speaking to their heart. Let me tell you right now. If God spoke to somebody's heart this morning, we're going to give an invitation in a minute. Rejection of the Holy Spirit will send you to hell.
Yes, amen.
Procrastination. What's that? That's putting it off. Hey, well, I'll come. I'm just not ready. A man one time, I went and saw him, and God had laid him on my heart, and I still pray for him. Went and talked to him and tried to get him to come to church. His wife was coming. He said, "I'm just not ready. I just got too many other things that I'm not willing to give up." You need to forget about all the stuff and think about whether or not you're going to heaven. You need to think about whether or not you know Jesus Christ and then let God deal with all that. Okay, all of us do different stuff. You know, we dress different, we act different. Don't be condemning somebody else. You got your own problems. But don't procrastinate and put Jesus off if he's speaking to you by his Holy Spirit. Because when he's knocking on the door, that's the time to be saved. I don't have a problem going to the hospital and praying with somebody when they're taking their last breath. Can I tell you, I've stood beside folks that were humble. And they said, "I just don't know if God saved me. I'm in bad." God's dealing with them. And you just say, "Do you believe in Christ? Do you accept the payment that Jesus Christ did, the blood? Do you accept what Jesus did on your behalf?" "I do, I do." You're covered.
Amen.
The Bible says, "We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved."
Amen.
But can I tell you, I've also stood beside them, and I say, "You know what the doctor's report says?" "Yeah, I know." "You ever accepted Christ?" "I'm not interested in that stuff." They're not covered. I won't tell you as a preacher, all I can do is tell you the truth. I'm covered.
Yes. Amen.
We're covered.
Amen.
As I get ready to come with a song, I want to ask you this morning, are you covered? If you're not 100% sure, come and be sure. Sometimes when I'm praying with young people, or especially the younger ones, if you get 6 and 8 years old, you say, "Well, can they be saved?" Sure they can. I want to tell you, I've seen kids saved out of Awana like you would not believe. Because that word, it just gets poured on them. And I've come home, both of my boys, we were riding home from church after Awana, and I look over there, and because, you know, the scripture says that his spirit bears witness with our spirit, little less that we are the children of God. And I look over at them, and I know just by looking at them, because of what I feel in the cab of the truck, that the Spirit of God is dealing with them. And we get home, and we get down by the bed, and we pray, and they've accepted Christ. You know, when they come back in a week or a month, and they got a question, we'll pray again.
Yeah.
You can pray again. If you're not sure, you can get sure. Are you covered? See, I believe that somebody perhaps is being called by the Lord today. Maybe you're here and you say, "Well, I'm covered." Praise God. Folks, I know people that aren't covered. Let's bring them and lay them on this altar. I ask you to stand to your feet if God spoke to your heart. If you want to come up and pray, we'll pray with you. If you're here and you got somebody on your heart you'd like to pray about, let's pray. Let's see as many as we can. You know, here's the thing about it. It's for everybody. As many as will call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved.
Amen.
Are you covered?
Yes.
Go ahead and sing.